I always think on Easter morning how wonderful it could be if I could simply take the scene before me, the flowers, the music, the candles glowing, your faces, and put the whole scene in my pocket as a gift that I would have on that bleak, cold, and rainy day next winter when I need it most, a gift I would have when everything seems to be going wrong, a gift that I could pull out and enjoy in those moments of disappointment and grief and anger. I think what a gift it would be if only I could carry this scene, carry you with me. And of course, I know I can. I know that in my mind, in my heart, in my memory, I can seize this moment. And that in those great words of Fred Astaire as he danced across the Staten Island Ferry, no one can take it away from me. Happy Easter to all of you. Take this moment, enjoy it, remember it. Pull it out when you need it most. And remember the gift that God has given us here in this cathedral and with one another. This morning we're going to talk for a few minutes about a conversation. It's a conversation that took place, two or three years after the resurrection of Jesus. It took place in Palestine. It was a conversation between two very different men. Men from different backgrounds, different nationalities, different histories and work. Men who brought very dissimilar world views to the conversation that day. The first of those two men is the Jewish fisherman, Peter, the first among the disciples, the one whom Christ nicknamed the Rock, almost as a joke, because, of course, Peter wasn't particularly a rock. He was always wavering and uncertain, giving the right answer one moment and changing it in the next. Peter wasn't a rock, but now, after that night of the Passion, the night of the trial in Pilate's court, when he had denied Jesus, forsaken Jesus, told the folks there that he didn't even know Jesus, since that night, he has felt the forgiveness of God, the mercy, the grace, the love of God so explicitly in his life, being welcomed back into Jesus' good graces. And not only that, but being sent with that message of forgiveness and of grace and of mercy to bring still more to know and to love Jesus. Peter's at the table this day. He's in the conversation because he's had a vision. Peter, good Jew that he was, had always observed the dietary laws and I'm sure as many of the other laws of worship and devotion among the Hebrew people as he could. But now he's had a vision in which it's been revealed to him that there really is no such thing as unclean food, and that the wonderful menu of life is laid out before him in so many ways that may have previously not been open. But now he realizes because of that vision, that he is to take the message of Jesus Christ to those who do not observe all of the Jewish law. That in fact, he is to proclaim that message to the Gentiles just as to the Christians. Now, shortly after Peter has had that vision of openness and of the need to share the gospel with all people, a senior Roman soldier by the name of Cornelius had a vision as well. And in his vision, Cornelius, who was a seeker, who was an inquirer, who was looking for spiritual answers to make his life right, he was told that he needed to send for Peter to come talk to him. And that if he will only do that, perhaps the answer to his spiritual needs, his anxieties and worries and spiritual concerns can be explained to him. And soon the two men, very different men, were sitting together in Cornelius's home, and there gathered around them were Cornelius's family and some of the troops. They were an unlikely pair. Two men whose paths would never have crossed if God had not brought them together. A Jewish fisherman, a follower of Jesus, who had rejected and betrayed his teacher, but now was forgiven and dedicating his life to preaching the good news that he had learned the hard way, and a ranking Roman soldier, commander of other men, probably raised to worship the god Jupiter, the goddess Minerva, certainly raised to worship Caesar, but now looking, seeking, inquiring, asking, and wanting to know about God and Jesus Christ. And so it was that Peter began to talk about Jesus. Began to talk about Jesus and how it was that he in his own life had come to put his complete hope and his trust for the future, his confidence for eternity in that man, Jesus. The first thing that Peter said to Cornelius, to his family, to the troops gathered there, was evident in the fact that two such very different men were talking at all. And it was this: the message of Jesus Christ is universal. Is universal. Jesus did not come just for the Jews. He did not come just for the people of Palestine. He certainly didn't come for that small group that had followed him throughout his life. Jesus came to address the needs of all humanity. Peter went on then to talk to Cornelius and the others about the life and the ministry of Jesus, how he taught and healed and how he did good among the people. Peter then told Cornelius in very simple terms, very straightforwardly, about the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus, and how it was that Jesus rose from the dead. His statement of it was really just that simple, that brief, and that clear. Jesus' death and God's power in restoring him to life is stated by Peter very straightforwardly as a fact. No argument for its truth is made other than there were witnesses. And I, Peter says, I was one of those witnesses. And what I tell you is true. Then Peter says, Christ has died. Christ is risen. We have seen the risen Lord. He will be the judge of all humanity, the living and the dead. And now it is up to us. It's up to us to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that in his death, in his resurrection, we can find the answers you're looking for, Cornelius. We can find the solutions to your problem, Cornelius. We can find hope for you tomorrow, today, and in eternity, Cornelius. In Jesus Christ, in his death, in his resurrection, we can find wholeness and peace and hope. In his resurrection, we can know that mercy and grace and forgiveness have now come to us in spite of our lives, our sins, our brokenness, our betrayals. Peter explains to Cornelius and the others that, in fact, Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the good news. His presence among us, his witness to us, show us that he is the pure and perfect expression of the love of God. And that love in Jesus is available to us if we will believe and trust in Him. Today we gather in a conversation just like Peter and Cornelius. Different backgrounds, different worldviews, different interests, different problems, different issues in our lives. But all of us have them, just as Peter did, just as Cornelius did. And we gather to celebrate an historical event. We celebrate an event which occurred in Palestine 2,000 years ago. It was dark, the stars were shining, a stone rolled, and Jesus dead a moment before, stepped out of the tomb. He stepped out of the tomb and into the lives of his followers, into the life of Cornelius, and into our lives today. Without Easter, the conversation between Cornelius and Peter would never have taken place. Without Easter, none of the rest of the story would have the meaning and the power which it had in their lives and which it has in our lives today. Without Easter, without the resurrection, Christ's invitation to us to come follow Him would have little impact or meaning. But because of Easter, because of what happened at that tomb, that invitation presents you and me with the most critical decision and the greatest opportunity of our lives. Because Jesus rose from the dead, because He rose from the dead, the invitation for us to join Him, the invitation to share the message of His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness with others, is the most important one which we will ever know. For this is the good news of the availability of peace with God and wholeness in our lives, if we will but make Him the centerpiece of our lives. He calls us today to share that message, to share it with those whom we love, with those with whom we work, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our communities, with the world. He calls you and me to let the world know that knowing, believing, and trusting in the risen Lord, all will be well. We can have that peace. We can possess that good news which He brings. For you, for me, as for Peter and Cornelius so long ago, this truly is the meaning of Easter. God bless you and those whom you love, and may you have a very, very happy and meaningful Easter. Amen.